Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the deep dive. I'm Chris Pajak. That is Josh Williams. And today we're going to be talking all about Harvey Elliott. Josh, we're going to get straight into it, mate, as we always do. Harvey Elliott comes into the side midweek against Wolves in the FA Cup, plays in Salah's position on the right-hand side. Now, I think a lot of Liverpool fans, I think it's fair to say, myself included here, I probably have the opinion that Harvey's not quite fast enough to play on that right-hand side. And yet, we've not seen him there for a while. He slots in, he scores the winner, and he has an unbelievable game, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, I thought he was man of the match. He obviously scores the winning goal from about 30 yards out. Showcases an eagerness to press, Liverpool's press seemed restored in the game and things like that. And on top of all that, on top of his attacking performance, Liverpool's midfield crucially looked a lot more like resolute, compact, won actual challenges for the first time since, well, a few months, feels like. So I think those two elements, Elliott's attacking contributions and Liverpool's midfield being a bit more normal, I think have kind of contributed towards what is a really interesting talking point, basically, in that, you know, where does Harvey Elliott's future lie? Where should Klopp use him? Is he a forward? Is he a midfielder? Is he something in between? So I think it's a really interesting one for us to tackle, really.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, mate. I think Klopp's got a bit of a conundrum on his hands, hasn't he? And I think, look, we're going to talk a little bit about the game against Wolves, of course, because he comes in and does really well. But for me, it was the makeup of the midfield three and the forward three that made the difference. I think, you know, for me, I saw a Thiago and an Abby Keita that got really high up and were winning the ball back in the opposition third. You know, actual gegging pressing for a change, which we've not seen. I fucking love that gaggle pressing.
That's
funny, so they're winning the ball back high up the pitch, but the press in front of them was really good as well. And it's funny because we did something, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, on, you know, I hypothesised it could go the Gapco actually be a Firmino in the future, and he plays that number nine role, and for once he was coming back into that space. And I felt like over the last few weeks Liverpool have been manufacturing midfielders to get into the space that used to be Firmino's on the pitch, because of the way that Nunes plays up top and is forward facing, dynamic, wants to get at the goal, but we've had no one to link the play. Cody comes in, doesn't have the best game, but he's an option for Liverpool's players to pass into. So it felt, what I'm trying to say, a really long-winded way of saying, it kind of felt like a Klopp team and a 4-3-3 that we've watched time and time again. Whereas we did the video last week on what's wrong with Liverpool's 4-3-3. It was none of that. It was very much a Klopp's 4-3-3, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. You know, it was compact from start to finish. We touched last week on the dynamic that Nunes has added to things. Obviously, he didn't play against Wolves during the week, but just in terms of running away from the ball, leaving spaces in the 10 area. And the likes of Harvey Elliott have kind of been tasked this season and a bit of last season with occupying those spaces, basically. Sometimes it's worked, sometimes it hasn't. Liverpool deployed a number of players against Wolves who want the ball to feet, really, rather than players who are going to run in behind. Maybe that's why we looked a bit more compact in the middle. But overall, I think Elliott, it's just kind of a bit of a puzzle for Klopp to solve, really. And I think by painting a bit of a picture of him in terms of the data, maybe we can get a bit of an insight into what he looks like, and then we can move forward to the tactics board.
Yeah, well, let's look at it then. We've obviously got some of his attacking stats here in front of us, haven't we, Josh? Do you want to go through some of these, the data on the attacking side of things?
Yeah, well, if we're keeping it basic, I think above all else, Elliott looks like the kind of player who is basically like a creative, incisive kind of midfielder, really different to what we've seen at Anfield over the past couple of years. You know, if you think of Wijnaldum, if you think of Henderson, Milner, even Fabinho, those types of players, they were labelled as workhorses, weren't they?
Yeah, they're industrious rather than creative, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. And I think Elliot, obviously, he's a lot more slight, both 5'7", 5'8", is he?
And in terms, tiny, mate.
Yeah. And in terms of, in terms of his technical ability, he's really clean on the technical side, really skillful and things. And that kind of translates into the data as well. So if we look at what he's good at and where he stands out, above all else, it's kind of like progressive passing, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
And on top of that, moving the ball into the penalty box. If you couple those in, you get a picture as to what he is in terms of like finding the most valuable areas of the pitch through little passes around the corner, through the smallest of spaces. And aside from Thiago, Liverpool haven't really had that over the years, have they?
No, absolutely. I think, you know, the first thing that jumped out at me, and the data we're using is freely available to everybody. It's on fbref.com. The first thing that jumped out to me is, for all midfielders, he's 99th percentile, so he's in the top 1% of passes into the penalty area for Liverpool, for everybody in the midfielders all season long. So he's averaging 2.33 passes per 90 minutes into the penalty area. He's also 94th percentile, so top 6% of all the midfielders getting crosses into the penalty area. His progressive passes are really high. And if you look at his attacking stats on FB Ref over the course of this season, he shows up in almost every one of the attacking passing categories. You know, shot creating actions, he's creating 4.08 shot creating actions. That's 94th percentile, top 6% again for midfielders for creating shots. I mean, this paints a picture of a creator, doesn't it?
Exactly, yeah. And if you look at shot creating actions as well, I've just got up the top players this season in the league on a per 90 basis. Top of the league is Kevin De Bruyne. I think most people would agree he's the most creative player in the country. Then you've got Mahrez, Odegaard, Kulusevski, Bruno Fernandes, Kieran Trippier, players who are creative. Harvey Elliott is 21st for that. And if you think of the 21 players above him, most of them you'd expect. There's a few surprises in there, but most of them, you know, you've got Saka, Grealish, Madison, Foden, players who are creative. So Harvey Elliott in amongst those. And to capture what we're talking about in terms of like progressive passes and passes into the penalty box, we're going to use a data viz to capture that, which we'll show now. For those who can't see it, it's progressive passes on one axis on a per 90 basis and passes into the penalty box on the other axis. And this is players in the Premier League this season who've played at least 450 minutes. And as you can see, you've got some of the obvious candidates in terms of like De Bruyne, Trent, Saint-Maximin, is that a surprise?
Yeah, a little bit, because yeah. I felt like he tends to dribble into the final third and doesn't pass it into the final third, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I would agree. And you've got the likes of Kovacic and Thiago there, but as you can see, they're more down towards the bottom right of the scatter plot, and that's because they progress the ball, but in terms of passes into the box, not so much.
For anyone who's new and listening to this for the first time and we're talking about progressive passes, what is the data on what a progressive pass is? How far do you have to move that ball forwards?
So I'll get it up, because every definition is slightly different, but it's generally what you'd picture in your head to be a progressive pass. That's kind of what it is.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Just as I'm getting on, so it's completed passes that move the ball towards the opponent's goal at least 10 yards from its furthest point in the last six passes, or any completed pass into the penalty area. And it excludes the defending 40% of the pitch. So it sounds really complicated.
It's not. They kick the ball far forwards.
Exactly, yeah. They move the ball forward. That's the basics of it. They could have just said that, couldn't they, to keep it simple for us. But that's the crux of it anyway.
So Thiago Alcantara, slightly deeper position.
Yeah.
You'd expect him to get more progressive passes because he's a forward-facing midfield player. And he wants to move the ball forwards. We know that, you know. But Harvey Elliott maybe plays that little bit higher up the field, so it's actually probably more difficult to make a progressive pass because there'll be some kind of a block in front of you, maybe a low block or whatever. So it's actually for someone who plays quite high up the field to figure that highly. It's really good. There's only really De Bruyne and Riyad Mahrez are the two players on that scattergraph that I can see that maybe play as high up the pitch as him.
Yeah, I mean Mahrez. He's finding the penalty box a fair amount, but in terms of moving the ball forward, progressive pass-wise, a little bit less. Harvey Elliott, as you can see, is kind of really in between Thiago and Mahrez as a player who does both to a really high level. Another player who's similar to him, as you can see, I've highlighted them, is Martin Odegaard. There's a reason I've highlighted them, which we will get to later. But in terms of what Elliott is on the ball, in terms of numbers, what we quantify and things like that, that's kind of what he is. He's that kind of needle player who will move the ball forwards to valuable areas of the pitch, basically.
Yeah.
And that leads us on to the defensive side of the game, which is a little bit more problematic, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, first thing, if you ever go onto FB Ref and you start looking at these things, the percentile thing I think is a really good way of looking at it because it gives you a big green bar when it's doing well and it gives you a red bar when it's not doing well. So I'm looking at the defensive stats now and all I can see is tackles really low, like 92nd percentile. So, like, you know, really poor in terms of a midfield for how many tackles he's actually getting in. That's the same for percentage of dribblers tackled. It's the same for interceptions. It's the same for tackles and interceptions and clearances is a little bit better. Like, he's 81st percentile rather than in the 90s. But all the others were between 90 and 99th percentile in a bad way. For tackles, interceptions and all those types of things. So straight away, you're thinking, small guy, playing in the middle of the park, not very strong, can't tackle.
Yeah, that's painted him in a brutal but honest way there, like, to be honest. I think if you look at his numbers, as you say, tackles and interceptions, so far this season in the Premier League, he's completed 17 of those. So for a bit of perspective on that, Milner is also on 17 and he's played less than half the number of minutes. Mm-hmm. And I think that accurately captures the difference, really, between Elliott and Milner as players. And if we move towards getting dribbled past as well, this is what's interesting, really. So, again, we'll use a database to capture this. You can see that now. And what you're seeing there is the percentage of dribblers that are tackled, basically, by players. So, again, for a bit of perspective on that, 19 players have attempted to dribble past Harvey Elliott this season and 15 have succeeded. That leaves him with a dribblers tackled rate of what you're seeing there, which is about 22% or so. And it ranks him as the second bottom in the league, ahead of only Stuart Armstrong. One of the lowest rates alongside a few other players that you'll recognise. And I think what's interesting as well is at the total opposite end of the scale, which I haven't obviously included here, You have Thiago in second for the whole of the league. And in third is Moises Caicedo as well. He was obviously linked with Liverpool. But one of the reasons I think this is interesting is because, again, similar to Elliott, right next to him is Martin Odegaard,
yeah.
who we knew was next to him when it comes to his on-ball actions as well, in terms of moving the ball into the penalty box and things. And I think he's a player who, he's now 5 years older than Elliot. And I think stylistically, if you look at his profile overall and things, I think the two are really similar. And I think Elliot can almost model his game on Odegaard moving forward, who has, interestingly, played in central midfield for the best team in the league this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's right, isn't it? I think, you know, that again, I just want to highlight something from the data that I noticed as well, because I think, you know, when I looked at, I was brutal before, and I apologise if you're watching, Harvey, but in some stats in the tackling things and those types of defensive stats, he does show up quite well. So he shows up 15th percentile in blocks, and he shows up 94th percentile in passes blocked. Now that leads me to sort of believe that he's got a good reading of the game, but technically when it comes to the tackling side of things, that he's not quite there yet. But, you know, if you're asking someone to create a pressing shadow or to get in a lane or intercept a pass, he actually can potentially be there because he can block those passes and stuff. He might not be recovering the ball as often as we'd like, but I think there's something there that he understands the game around him. He understands where he is in the system, but he's just not able to execute when it comes to actually defending a man.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily think he's like defensively bad, you know, in that sense, really. I think it's just a case of, in terms of being defensively active and regaining the ball on a regular basis for your team, he just does that a bit less than many of his peers. But as I said, I think Odegaard is a really interesting example because he's played in a three for Arsenal this season, drifted into a 10 space with the ball, which is what Liverpool tend to do. He's the captain of Arsenal now. They've conceded the second fewest goals, I think. Second in the league for shots faced and second in the league for expected goals against on a penalty basis as well. So Arsenal have got the defence nailed down.
And you've got someone like Odegaard.
Exactly. So people have blamed Elliot as the problem as to why Liverpool are kind of wide open in the middle or whatever. When Arsenal are fielding a very similar player there and coping just fine. So that tells me it's not just a case of Elliot shouldn't be in midfield. It's more structural, maybe, yeah. Mostly with his teammates, and that's why it poses such an interesting tactical question for Klopp in terms of like a tactical system on the board.
We're going to go off and we're going to discuss the other guy on the field up here on this right hand side. We're going to talk about Mohamed Salah next on redmenplus.com. If you want to go and watch that show, if you remember Red Men Plus, you can do. It'll be up at the same time as this show, of course. If you're not and you just want to join up and you like what we've been doing, then there's two deep dive shows every single week. The second one is always on Red Men Plus. You can sign up, just go to redmenplus.com, click that My Account button, log in, or sign up, as a club captain and use the code SALA, all capitals, and you'll get your first month for free. That's the code SALA, all capitals, and you'll get your first month for free. What we're going to discuss with Mo Salah is I've got a hypothesis that Liverpool are not making him the focal point of the attack this season. And I want to prove or disprove that hypothesis with the help of Josh Williams in this one. Join us over there, redmenplus.com. Thank you so much for watching. Leave us your thoughts on the show, whether you're enjoying it or you're not, whether you think we're full of shit or we're not, in the comments section. I'll see you next time. Ta-ra.
Thanks for listening. If you want even more Bosch content and podcasts just like this, go over to redmenplus.com and sign up now.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain.
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.